Amen. That was beautiful, Brother Cooper. 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. I'm going to give you a quick word from the Word tonight. We're getting ready for our missions conference. What is the theme of our missions conference? It's hopefully it won't go too late. Is that what the theme is? Hopefully it won't go too long. No, what is it? Right here. It's right up here. Open my eyes, Lord. Say it with me. Say it loud and proud. Open my eyes, Lord. We've been thinking about this, praying about it. Now, remember, I got this cool little lapel pin up here with our theme on it. We're going to give every one of you that's at church next Sunday morning one of these, and you can proudly wear it, and hopefully it'll remind you to pray for the conference, and it's just a great thing to wear year-round. Open my eyes, Lord. We're going to see a quick story of where God opened a servant's eyes and what happened around that. As we get ready to launch into our missions conference, I want to be able to launch this theme and get you excited about it. Man, you know, sometimes I fear we just have so much business as usual. We do stuff because that's what Baptists do, you know. And I don't want that. I don't want there to be a conference next week that you just come to every night and put your time in. At the end of the week, you go home unchanged and unchallenged. I don't want that. I think your time is valuable. And whenever I do plan things, I want it to be worth your time. And I want you to get something out of this. I want our church to be charged and excited. I want our church to have its eyes opened. That's truly our prayer for this week. So let's look at this real quick. 1 Kings chapter 6. Let's begin there in verse number 1. It says, "And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, Behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us." Are y'all there? 2 Kings 6. What'd I say? What'd I tell you? Did I tell everybody to go to 1 Kings? Well, y'all never listen to me except when I'm wrong. You never listen to me. And then when I'm wrong, that's when the one time you listen to me. That'll teach you. 2 Kings. Check 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. We're going to look at verse number 2 now. All right. Is everybody with me now? I don't know. I'm going to watch the video. I think it was y'all's mistake, not mine. I might have to go back on it. Verse number 2. "Let us go, we prayed thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam. Let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, Go ye. And one said, Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, Alas, master, for it was borrowed." That is my luck right there. I have never borrowed anything that something didn't happen to it. Whether it was a lawnmower or a chainsaw, an axe, a shovel, a rake, a generator. I borrowed a generator one time in Florida. We had a hurricane that kind of caught us off guard, and I had a generator, but it was up North Florida at our deer camp. And I borrowed a neighbor. He had an extra one. He gave it to me to use. On the second day, I went out there to pull that thing. When I went to pull it, the whole rope came off in my hand. It was like, and I thought, good grief. It's just the way it works for me. Well, they borrowed an axe. While they're cutting down wood, the axe head flew off and flew into the river, and the guy started crying. You ever do something and you just get overwhelmed and you just want to sit down and cry? They were already up against a big job. Now the axe head is gone, and to make matters worse, it was a borrowed axe head, and they didn't have Lowe's and Home Depot and Walmart back then. Having an axe head was a big deal. It was not something you could just go purchase easily. So he was very distressed here. And then it says in verse 6, "And the man of God said, Where fell it? And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick and cast it in thither." And I love this. "And the iron did swim." That's a pretty amazing miracle. Wouldn't y'all say? Axe head just floated up. Oh, man, that would have been great. But you know, if I was going to be doing a miracle at that moment, if I had the power of Elisha and I could perform a miracle and I could say, well, where'd that axe head go, man? Let's go cause it to swim here. I think a better miracle would have been the miracle of the rabid beaver that you could have used like a chainsaw to cut down all of the trees, or a miracle where he called a herd of beavers down to just cut those trees down. That would have been a better use of miracle using if I had been around. I would have suggested that. But that's a pretty cool miracle nonetheless, the axe head swimming. Wouldn't y'all agree with that? I would rather watch a beaver cut a tree down than me have to swing an axe and cut it down. I mean, I'm just saying. If I had the powers of miraculous things, that's, to me, would have been a great way to use it right there. But anyway, that's not what happened. That's not in the Bible at all. That's not in the book. That we see the axe head, the iron axe head, it floated to the top, a miraculous thing. Verse 7, therefore said he, take it up thee, and he put out his hand, and he took it. Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with a servant, saying, and such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once nor twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing, and he called his servants and said unto them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel. Tell it the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. And he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Boy, that's something that we have got to always remember. With God, you are always in the majority. You're never in the minority, even though it may feel like it at times. You may feel that you're outnumbered, but you are never outnumbered. They that be with us are more than they that be with them. And then it says in verse 17, here's where it gets interesting. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. If you have your pen, underline that. Open his eyes that he may see. Now notice this. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Let me stop there for time's sake. We see in this situation, Elisha was in a situation that required faith in order for him to persevere. It looked bad. It looked like a dire situation. His faith is what carried him through this. His faith gave him a vision and peace that came through that vision that his servant who was with him did not have. But then you notice that Elisha prayed for his servant. And he asked God in this prayer to open his eyes so that he may see some things that would help him, some things that would comfort him, some things that would bring him peace during this horrible time. You know, I read that and I thought to myself, there's people around us going through hard things. And sometimes they look at us and we're not panicking. We're not flipping out. We're not getting angry. We're not getting bitter. And sometimes they're in the same situation around us and they're feeling the anxiety, the hopelessness, the helplessness. And you know, one of the best things we can do for those people is pray for them the way Elisha did his servant. Pray that God will open their eyes. And sometimes praying for people when they're in these situations is the best way we can help them. We need to pray for people around us that are going through horrible things. They're going through scary things. They're going through things that are very huge oppositions. And we must pray that God can open their eyes so that they may see. And when they can see, they'll have the peace that came upon this servant come upon them. When they can see what spiritual eyes can see, they will have peace. Now notice, there was a host of opposition encamped around them. How many of you caught that in the story? They were on a hillside and there was a host all around them that was encamped. Now this host of enemy soldiers were there to do them harm, and they knew this. They were very afraid. The servant was full of anxiety, but we see that Elisha was calm. But they have this opposition encamped around them. But also notice in the story that there was a host within that circle, they're on the hill with them. So there was an enemy host surrounding them. But on the inside, there was a heavenly host encamped on the inside. So you see the picture there. How many of you get that? Say amen. It's important that you understand that. Get that picture in your mind. Now, this heavenly host was unseen to the servant. Now, the eyes of Elisha were faithful eyes, eyes full of faith. And he was able to see that inside heavenly host. But the servant was unable to see this, and therefore he was afraid. Therefore, he was panicking. Therefore, he was coming apart at the seams. But when Elisha prays for him, his eyes become open. He was then able to see that on the outside, what was physically there was still there. But then he saw that on the inside, there was a much larger, more powerful host of angelic beings there to help them. Are you catching this? Some of you have already made the connection. And I already see it in your eyes. You know what, beloved? We see that this heavenly host was there even though it was unseen. But it was definitely there. Elisha knew it was there, but the servant did not. One had peace, one had panic. But the one who knew it was there was unafraid. And even though it couldn't be seen, it was definitely there. Now, the physical enemy was definitely seen by both of them. There are physical oppositions that are around us all the time. We see them, we feel them, we know they're there. There are things that are out there that we know are there to harm us. We know they're there to stop us. We know they're there to be in opposition. But we see this unseen host was there. It was real, and it was ready to protect them by the mighty hand of God. How many of you get that? Say amen. Beloved, we have a heavenly host inside of us that is greater than the physical host that is all around us. This evil world encamps around us, but inside we have something that is greater than he that is in the world. Amen. We need to never forget that. And although we can't see it, it's there and ready to deal with anything that seeks to defy the desires of God concerning you. And when your eyes become open, you will see some things. Let me throw some things at you real quickly. First of all, when your eyes become open, as this servant's eyes did, he went from panic to peace, and he saw the presence of God's mighty hand. When he was able to see the presence of God's mighty hand, he was able to find peace. When your eyes become open, when you go from physical viewing of the world to a spiritual viewing of the world, when your eyes become opened by the Holy Spirit, you will then see in the situations of your life the mighty hand of God. And you will be able to say the same thing that Elijah said, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." He is able to say that we have a more powerful host around us. When you're able to see with spiritual eyes, you'll see that the power of God's, first of all, you'll see the presence of God's mighty hand. Second of all, you'll see the power of God's mighty clan. You know, God has angels that are innumerable. I don't know how many angels were there on that hillside with them, but we do know that there was a greater number of angelic warriors than there were the enemy. And when they saw the power of God's mighty clan, his band of angels and servants that were there, you know, all around us, God's mighty clan is there. There are angelic beings and servants that God has placed in your life, and they're there to help you, there to protect you, even if you don't see them. There are spiritual forces at work in the plan of God. When you get spiritualized, you'll see, number three, the prevalence of God's plan. The prevalence. You know, God is going to prevail in this story. And you know, I've learned as I've read the Bible, God always prevails. God always wins. God always is greater and stronger than anything that opposes him. Sometimes man beats his chest and man, you know, thumbs his nose at God and you know, gets that stiff chin, a stiff neck. And I've seen stories in the Bible where men have gone against God. You know, they always lose. We see Pharaoh try that. at the end, a watery grave awaits him. You know, God is never, ever outnumbered. God is never weaker. He is never worried. He is never threatened. He is never pitied. He is always the one who will prevail because he is greater. Because greater is he that is within me than he that is in the world, we can prevail over the forces of evil that we see in our lives. When you start looking at the world around you with spiritual eyes, you'll see the provision of God's gracious hand. Do you see what God is doing in your life? You know, God was working there. One of the men saw it. The other man was there in the same situation, but did not see at first the mighty hand of God. He didn't see God working in that situation. Therefore, he was panicked and he was afraid. And I wonder how many times that happens in your life. I wonder how many times God is working, but you simply don't see it. You simply can't see it. You're looking at it through eyes that are physical. You're looking at it through human reasoning. You're looking at it through the lens of the flesh. But if we look at it through spiritual eyes, we'll see the provision of God's gracious hand. You'll see what God's doing in your life. You know, I truly believe that God does a lot of things for us that we simply never see or notice that he has done. I've told this story before about a guy that was walking alongside a river, and he got too close to that raging river, and he took a step too close, and he slipped into it. And immediately, the currents grabbed him and started taking him down that river. And he started praying, God, help me, God, help me. And he's choking water and swallowing water down his throat and gargling it. And he's afraid for his life. Then all of a sudden, a tree on the side of the river just happens to break loose and fall across the river, right in front of the man. He reaches up and he grabs one of those big branches and he holds on to it. And as he does, he says, oh, never mind, God, here's a tree. You know, a lot of times we're looking at things through these human eyes and we don't see what God has just done for us. We miss it. We don't see it. We have closed eyes. We don't see when God answers our prayers. We do a lot of praying, but often we do not see God doing the answering. Sometimes we will pray for something, then it comes to pass, and then somewhere in that, we just think it was circumstances or luck, or it was just something that we failed to see God's hand in it. Do you see God's hand? Do you see what God's trying to do in your life? Do you see what God is doing to protect you, to provide for you? So many times God does great things and we just don't see it. We don't see what he's doing. We don't see the involvement of God in our life. When we see the world with spiritual eyes, we see the truth. In the next week, our theme is, open my eyes, Lord. Open my eyes, Lord. I'm asking God to open our eyes in this missions conference to help us go from blindness to sight in these following areas. I'm asking God during this conference to do for us what he did for that servant on that hill. To let us see some things that are hidden to us normally. Things that often we just don't see. And I'm asking God to do these things. First of all, open our eyes to the needs of others in this world. I'm asking God to open our eyes to the needs of others in this world. The needs of the lost world to hear about Jesus. There's people around us that need Jesus. They need to hear about salvation. We need to open our eyes to that. We need to open our eyes to the needs of God's servants that are going to carry the word to that lost world. We're going to have a lot of missionaries come in next week. We're going to hear about visions and plans and needs. And I'm asking God to open up your eyes to how you can be a help and a solution to those needs that you hear. Needs that abide all around us. You know, in San Antonio, there are needs spiritually. I think about what we heard this morning. Here's a man doing missions work, very definite missions work. We see Brother Rich as he was in prison and God got a hold of his life. He got out of prison. He didn't have to go to a foreign country to find people who needed Jesus. He found people who needed the Lord right here in San Antonio. And he found not only people who needed the Lord, but his eyes were opened to a way that he could be a solution to people right here who needed to find the Lord, who needed some discipleship, needed somebody to be there for them. And I'm asking God to open up your eyes to the needs that abide all around us in San Antonio, needs that you can help with here and now, today, in this place. I'm asking God to open our eyes to the needs of others in this world. There's need all around us. We don't have to look far, but often it can be right in front of us, and we approach it with our eyes wide shut. We need God to open our eyes. How can we live in a world like this and not have a burden? I'll tell you how. We just simply don't see it. We won't have a burden when our eyes are shut. We won't have a burden when our eyes don't see it. I'm asking God to open our eyes. I'm asking God to open our eyes to how we can be a solution to these needs around us. When we see the need, it will bring a burden. That burden will produce an action. That's what I'm praying for. Number three, I'm asking God to open our eyes to see the power of God in our world today. You know, God is still in control. He is still on the throne. He is still very large and very in charge of the situations around us. God has encamped around us a heavenly host. And God's going to deliver victories that we need. So many people are just feeling like nothing's happening today, that God's not doing it today. And people are becoming mundane, just like what you described, where you're at. America's been in that zip code for a long time. I spoke to a missionary the other day who preached in our church, did a phenomenal job. We had dinner, and he said that by the time he leaves America, and he's usually here about 2 months, about every 2 years, and he goes and he preaches for about, he says, by the time I'm done, I can't wait to get back to the Philippines, because I see death and I see churches with no vision and I see churches with no life. He paid us a very good compliment. He said that I felt much life at Town East tonight. And I was glad to hear that. He said, I felt there was life there. But he said, I preach in church after church after church where there's just no life and there's no excitement. And the people just sit and stare at you, and you can't move them, and there's no tear, and there's no tingle, and it just seems like you can't reach them. They're a million miles away. Boy, I tell you what, when you can see those needs around you, when you start to see it, you'll get a burden. When you get that burden, you'll get action. And we need to see that power of God that's still happening today. That power of God that's still calling people to go to mission fields, that power of God that is still calling on local churches in America to continue witnessing and soul winning. We need to open our eyes to that need around us. It's easy to drive through the streets of San Antonio and not see the needs. It's easy to see all these people everywhere, but not see a spiritual need in that. If you're looking at it through a physical lens, you won't see that need. But if God opens your eyes, you'll see a need. You'll see a burden. You'll see a calling. And when your eyes become open, you will lose the fears of the flesh. You will find peace in your soul. You will find the strength to persevere in God's plan for you. Those things are going to happen when God opens your eyes. It's my prayer that God will open your eyes. And it's our hope that God will, in the next week, show us what he has for us. Let me ask you this. When you look about you, what do you see? Do you see a bunch of needs? Or do you see an opportunity for Jesus? As you were speaking, I got to thinking about that connection. You know, you go to a hospital, you probably saw a lot of sick people there. People waiting in an emergency room, a lot of them sick. A lot of needs there. Overwhelming needs. Sometimes when you go to a hospital, you feel overwhelmed with things you can't help. I was talking to Brother Marvin Martin the other day in the hospital, and he was sharing with me some of the burden that he was going through. As I listened to him, I said, man, I wish I'd give anything if I could lay hands on you like the Apostle Paul and just heal you. I wish I could. I'd give anything if I could. I'd give anything if y'all could call me and I could run up to the hospital, give you a holy slap on the head. Might knock some sense in you. If I could breathe on you like old Benny Hinn. Listen, I'd give anything, seriously, if I could come and just heal you. I wish that was the way it was. Sometimes when I hold the hand of y'all in the hospitals and I pray with you, sometimes I feel so helpless with it. Wish I could do so much more. But I know this. I wish there was more we could do. And a lot of times you're overwhelmed with the needs of all those sick people. But where other people would have only seen a bunch of needs, God opened your eyes. Suddenly you looked at it with a different eye. The other person saying, look at all these sick people. You said, look at all these people who are wide open for the gospel. There's never a moment when people are ready to have spiritual help than they are when they're sick. And the Lord led you through that spiritual vision when everybody else just saw sick people. You saw people who could be saved people in this condition they're in. And that's the difference I'm talking about here. There's so many people in America right now that our eyes are shut, blinded to needs. We think the only people in the world that need Jesus live in Africa. We walk by people every day and all we see is a person. But a person with a spiritual eye will see their need. And I'm asking God to open your eyes in the next week to the needs, and not just those needs, but how you can be a solution, just like what happened to Brother Mike. That's my goal. That's my prayer goal for our church next week, that the Lord will open the eyes of Town East Baptist Church to the needs around us, to the power of God, to that provision and protection hand of God in your private life. Listen, I've held the hand of a lot of people this year, hurting, sick, in some cases dying. You know what they need during those times? To be able to see that heavenly host camped within, around them, because we can see all that evil around us. I'm asking God to open your eyes to those things as well, where you can see the power of God at work, see that you're not alone, see that God hadn't left you helpless here. And then as far as missions goes, what I just described. Folks, get involved in this next week. I can't get a pry bar and pry your eyes open. God's got to open them for you. But you've got to allow him to do it. You got to allow him to do it. But if you'll do it, you'll go from panic to peace. You'll go from worry to provision. You'll go from just seeing a bunch of problems to seeing purpose where God can use you. And that's what we want. Let's bow for a word of prayer tonight. This missions conference is coming, man. It's here. We've been preparing for it, praying for it, planning it. But now it's no longer a date further down the calendar. It's upon us. And I need you to show up, step up. I need you to rise above the things that would set you back. This is that week that I need you to step up and play with some pain. If you can. This is that week that I need you to put yourself to the back. Put the Lord's work to the front. Week after week goes by around here and we have business as usual and scheduled events and church services. This is not one of those weeks. This is special. And I'm asking you to sanctify it. Now Wednesday night we're going to be gathering and breaking into some prayer groups and we're going to pray down the power of God. Because it is futile for us to try to attempt this without God's power. The devil is simply too strong for us if we're not close to God. If God's not in our midst, he'll get in here, the old devil, and he'll sift us like wheat. And it's easy for him. We're such marred vessels. We need God's power. And I'm going to ask you to show up Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, be here to help pray with me so that we can pray down and that our eyes will open and we'll see that heavenly host encamped within. That will tell us that we will prevail, even though that enemy's all around us. Is there anyone here tonight that could say, preacher, I don't know that I'm saved, but I know that I need to be saved. Would you raise your hand so I can pray for you tonight? Anybody? Man, I just want to pray for you. I just want to help you. Preacher, I need to know. I don't know, but I want to know. Is there anyone here tonight that will say, preacher, I'm going to pray that God will help open my eyes to what he wants for me and what I need to do and be in the next few weeks? Would you raise your hand? This missions conference. I hope you mean that. And I want it for you. What could be done in this town if God opened our eyes to the solution that we could be? The needs are all around us. When you get spiritualized, you'll see what God wants you to do in it. Dear Father, I took this little story tonight. You gave it to me to apply to the situation we're in. We're gearing up for a big missions conference. Lord, my goal is that you open our eyes. Because I believe there are things right here in this town that are going undone, but that we, Town East Baptist Church, could be the solution. Where others see a problem, we might be able to see a ministry to reach people for Christ, as Brother Mike did with the hospitals, as Brother Medina did with the prisons. Surely there's other things out there that others see as strictly a problem. But when we look at it with a spiritual eye, we're going to see a ministry, an opportunity, a way to reach people and grab them from the grip of that old devil. Lord, I pray that as we hear these missionaries speak, that we'll not just sit there and think about problems a million miles away, but think about how we can be a solution and a help and a blessing and reveal that to us. Let us see it. I pray that we'll see ourselves in the preaching. Let the Holy Spirit's power be able to convict, where we will look at ourselves with spiritual eyes and see where we need to grow, and what we need to do better, what we need to forsake, or what we need to pick up. Lord, that can all be done through this missions conference in the lives of these people, if they'll open their eyes. Lord, I pray that you'll do it, that you'll show up in a big way. We ask this in Jesus' name. We're not going